The Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And I did not watch the whole event. I was doing other stuff yesterday. But Trump yesterday spoke at the National Association of Black Journalists, what we might describe as a slightly less than optimally friendly crowd. I think that's a super charitable way to say they don't like him. And Rachel Scott, who was one of the people that was talking with him in a portion of it, asked him some questions. And if what you had been imagining was a kinder, gentler, softer, sweeter, less provocative Trump, you know, because at the ripe age of 78, he's going to just totally change who he is after he, you know, comes close to getting killed with a sniper bullet, that all the stuff about that is a whole separate thing we'll get into. But, you know, if you thought maybe this is going to change him and he was going to be different on the campaign trail, I think we have now found out the answer to that question is no. Now, yes, at the RNC, he was different. In that speech, he was different, and it was clear. But that was, you know, what, 5 days after the event? I mean, understandable. But, you know, here we are a couple of weeks later, and I will just say he is back to being him. You know, look at the comments he made over the weekend that the Christians, he wanted to vote again in 4 years. Whatever that means. We talked about that the other day. And now we have the questions about Kamala Harris. So there's no other way to do it than to let it rip. Here you go. Yesterday at the National Association of Black Journalists.
Some of your own supporters, including Republicans on Capitol Hill, have labeled Vice President Kamala Harris, who is the first Black and Asian American woman to serve as vice president and be on a major party ticket, as a DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you?
How is this going to go? Because, you know, the idea of a DEI hire is the idea that you're hiring her because she's a Black woman. Right? It's not code. I mean, you'd say that's code. No, it's, I mean, you know, which President Biden had said before. He wants to, you know, that's part of his motivation. He nominated a judge to the Supreme Court for that exact reason. And, you know, I think very clearly picked Kamala Harris for that reason, at least in part. Right? Okay, so, you know, role play yourself as Trump here. How are you going to answer this question? What do you think is going to happen?
A DEI hire. Is that acceptable language to you? And will you tell those Republicans and those supporters to stop it?
How do you define DEI? Go ahead. How do you define
diversity, equity, inclusion?
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Is that what your definition?
Give me a
definition
the words,
then. Would you give me a definition
DEI.
Of that? Give me a definition.
Sir,
of
I'm
that.
Asking you a question.
No, you
very
have to define
question.
It. Define it for me, if you
I just defined it, sir.
This is not a helpful start. Because, granted, she didn't really. I mean, she gave the words for what the letters stand for. I mean, it's an affirmative action allegation, right? The allegation is that she was hired lesser qualified, but she's a Black woman. And that was her appeal. Okay? That's what DEI is meant to stand for. And I don't know why he's asking. This seems like a bad move out the gate. Okay? But this is not the bad part. This is just the preamble to the bad part. This is the bad part.
You believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is only on the ticket because she is a Black woman?
Well, I can say no. I think it's maybe a little bit different. So I've known her a long time indirectly, not directly very much. And she was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was Black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn Black, and now she wants to be known as Black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she Black?
She has always
but
identified
you know
as a Black woman.
I respect
she went to a historically
either one.
Black college.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn, and she became a Black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do
and
you believe
think,
that
I think
she is
somebody should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
It's a direct question, sir. Do you believe that Vice President Kamala Harris is a DEI hire, as some Republicans
really
have said?
I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know. Could be. Could be.
So, Once again, I find myself asking the question, what? What? I have been following national politics for, I don't know, 35 years, you know. I've been working in the field of actually covering politics and events since, at least 2004, you know. I mean, I taught philosophy for a while, did part-time radio, then I started doing full-time radio in 2005. So give me 19 years in radio, okay? Working on 20. I don't recall Kamala Harris ever being not black. I don't remember Kamala Harris ever being. In fact, if anything, it was a little bit more of a surprise to hear the talk about her being Indian. If only because it just sort of, it's like super third tier level interesting, the mixed race question in America, because, you know, Obama, right, was mixed race, and, you know, like Tiger Woods is mixed race and Kamala Harris is mixed race. And, you know, there's this history in America where being black was, because we have a history of racism, being black was, if you were any portion black, you were black. Because being black was like a taintedness, right? There was a dirtiness to it. Again, born out of just racism, evil, okay? And so historically, the idea that if you're part black, you're black, because you have to be pure to be white, you know, was kind of the contrast. That was always a bad thing, but it was a reality. And so treating, you know, Obama as black, or like, you know, Kamala Harris as black, or Tiger Woods as black, people who are half, okay, you know, it's always been kind of an odd thing in America, but there's never been that's a side note. Like I said, third tier kind of interesting. I don't remember her ever being, you know, the fact that she had Indian heritage to me was always just kind of almost news historically when that sort of came out. No, sir, no. She's always been a black candidate.
Because she is a
black. So that notion.
Because
that
she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she went. She became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, do you...
Stop talking! 437-1620. John is out for... He's on vacation for several days. Austin's filling in for him with Traffic on the Fives. Go ahead, Austin.
Thank you. This traffic update's brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulkway Service is now call for pickup. You can call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day, and you can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Looking at the roads here, it's just a couple of spots, both on Palafox Street if you're traveling southbound towards Fairfield Drive, and then as you continue southbound closer to downtown approaching Cervantes Street, we've got some heavy backups in both of those areas there. Outside of that, though, there's not much holding you up too long this morning. I'm Austin Price with your Traffic on the Fives.
See, there's all kinds of ways to answer this question that are productive, you know, that are actually going to move this conversation in a healthy direction. Because the conservative view on affirmative action is that affirmative action is bad for the beneficiaries, right? The historic argument for affirmative action is that black people in particular in the United States have suffered so much oppression, systemically been excluded from opportunity, and had their opportunities thwarted even before they became opportunities by having to go to poor schools, in poor neighborhoods, suffering economic disadvantage, not being taught properly, and therefore even things where you think it would be a more fair environment, like taking the SAT or the ACT, wind up disproportionately disadvantaging them because they're not even properly equipped compared to white students who didn't have these disadvantages to compete for the various slots at college level. Like, that's the point of affirmative action historically. Now, the Supreme Court wound up saying that you can't have people for that reason, but you can have them because of diversity of viewpoint, and so we've kind of gone away from making that argument for affirmative action, but that was historically the argument. Now we make the argument that it's just good for white people to have black people around and good for black people to have white people around, and let's mix everybody together because it makes a better university environment. But the historic argument for affirmative action was good for the beneficiaries because you put them in a position to get access to opportunity they would not otherwise have, and it's not their fault they were disadvantaged. You find out the ones who are going to thrive that just haven't had a chance to do so far. Okay. The conservative argument against affirmative action, without denying any of the premises, although sometimes conservatives have been dumb and denied the premises, the conservative argument against affirmative action has been, okay, granted, the system has worked against blacks. Blacks have been disadvantaged, and, you know, there are a whole bunch of factors that make it harder for them to get equal opportunity in America. Agreed. The solution is not to promote them into situations where they're more prone to fail. Because if they don't have the educational, for whatever reason, even if the system is responsible for that, putting them in a case where they're going to compete against people who do have those educational skills or academic skills, you're putting them in a position to fail. That's not good. Number two, if they are the kind of people who really do have the skills and didn't need the bump, the perception is that they're going to have gotten it, and so everybody's going to think they're in there on an assistance basis, on an affirmative action basis, not on their own merits. And so all of the otherwise eligible qualified people who are in a job or in a university or on the Supreme Court or in the vice presidential role, everybody says they got that because they're black or they got that because they're female. Same argument being made for gender parity kind of stuff. And so one problem is that it actually harms people because it puts them in a position they're not really capable of handling properly. And two, it harms everybody in the category because it makes everybody look like they weren't capable. And also, number three, it builds racial animosity because it makes white people resent and Asians resent, and then you have lawsuits. And it doesn't foster a world in which we don't pay any attention to color. It fosters a world where we pay too much attention to color. Okay, these have all been the classic conservative arguments against affirmative action. He could have said any of that, and it would have been helpful. You know what he could have said? He said, look, President Biden has clearly said that he wants to promote black women into positions on the basis of them being black women. I think it's very bad because I think that we ought to be treating people on the basis of their abilities only. And the more we treat people on the basis of their skin and gender, the more we harm them and the more we separate from each other and the more we make it harder for those people to really get ahead because we make it a perception that they're getting an advantage, which makes it even harder for them to be perceived as worthy of whatever promotions they might earn. I mean, he could have said any of that stuff. He could have basically said, look, affirmative action, or what we now call DEI, or part of what is now called DEI, is bad for black people. I have hired many black people. I don't say binders full of women, but you know, that's the Romney gaffe. But say, you know, you've watched The Apprentice. Anybody's eligible. I just want excellence. Look at my cabinet. I just want excellence. Do you want a world in which we promote and deal with people on the basis of their gender and their skin, or do you want a world where we promote and treat people on the basis of excellence, and then we work to create a structure within which the people who have historically been disadvantaged can succeed and thrive? Because we no longer allow these concessions afterwards, because we have to fix it. And by the way, I have done more to fix it. That's why we did so much for historically black colleges and universities. There's all kinds of things he could have said. But instead, he decides to say that, you know, she's turned black.
You became a black person.
Just to be clear.
No! No. And in case there's even some part of you that is, you know, just a Trump loyalist to the last, whatever he says, I don't care, it's never wrong. She was in Alpha Kappa Alpha. If you don't, like, the black fraternity and sorority world is, and I say this with all the gentleness I can say, not inclusive. It's not. And you don't get to be an AKA without being black. So, it's 6:23 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at abacuspays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at abacuspays.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
My grandfather taught me, if you give a small man a little bit of power, you have a big problem. Well, District 1 Escambia County, you have a big problem. District 1 has a commissioner who helped authorize a retirement plan for other commissioners that was outrageously expensive and stopped by a lawsuit. It is time to get decisions out of back rooms. It's time for a change. Vote Steve Stroberger on August 20th.
Paid political advertisement by Steve Stroberger, Republican for County Commissioner, District 1.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Kevin Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Quickly as you can, snatch the pebble from my hand.
Oh, by the way, I'm getting texts in from people saying, she did claim to be Indian. You know, when the Sacramento Bee ran a headline, first Indian American. Yeah, half. Just like half black. I mean, so first African American and first Indian American. You could say both. I mean, I don't particularly like hyphenated terms to begin with, but the notion that she ever denied being black, that she... Stop it. Stop it. Oh, and by the way, her comment at the rally yesterday was pretty on target, I would say. Austin's got traffic on the fives. Austin?
Looking at the roads here, we do have some backups. If you are traveling southbound on Palafox Street, this is going to be if you're passing the Pensacola High School area and approaching Cervantes. Also have some backups developing as you travel southbound on Scenic Highway and turn onto, what road is this here? Cervantes as well. So it's all about Cervantes at this time this morning. Outside of those couple spots, though, there's not much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Austin. If you are thinking about changing careers or want to get a little bit of personal enrichment, taking a literature or an arts course or history course, Pensacola State College, a fantastic resource. And, you know, our use of PSC, like I knew PSC, of course, as long as we've lived here. Great, great community college, junior college, state college, whatever you want to call it. That's, you know, we've changed the name over the years, but the concept is the same. And, you know, outstanding school. But then my own kids went there. Both of my older kids went there for 3 years, dual enrollment during high school. So they came out with a year and a half of university credit, which helped them tremendously get a leg up when they, you know, went to UWF. But they love PSC. Great teachers, teachers who are teachers first, like that's really what they're there for, a variety of class sections, you know, each course that's offered is going to be several different times, different teachers, you know, they found the teachers that they liked and then kept taking classes from them. I mean, just fantastic and easy to work with, you know, compared to university, like it's very sort of student or client oriented. So we have thought PSC has been great. Campuses in Pensacola, Warrington, Milton Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at PensacolaState.edu. I mentioned what Kamala Harris said at the rally yesterday.
If you've got something to say, say it to my face.
That's, yeah, pretty much on target. Although I don't know whether he would say it to her face or not. Although I did find it interesting that the warm-up act or the, you know, the, who they had working for her at the rally yesterday.
Make some noise for Mr. Harris, our future president.
Before Megan Thee Stallion. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David, noted noted political expert, Megan Thee Stallion.
Well, what can we say? We had Kid Rock,
and Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
those who live in
it kind of goes both ways.
Those
I guess.
Who wear rippable shirts shouldn't throw stones or I don't know. Anyway,
I mean, it kind of goes both ways.
It
you
does.
Know, if you're
it
trying
does.
To appeal to a younger and you know different kind of crowd, you gotta kind of do that stuff, I guess.
Way to jazz up the high quality academic, you know. But yeah, the RNC guilty too. Okay, go ahead.
The first U.S. built F-16s have arrived in Ukraine. Now, Kyiv has not yet confirmed that the F-16s are there, but U.S. sources and Lithuania's foreign minister say that delivery has been made. President Biden approved the F-16s for Ukraine back in August of 2023, and the U.S. has been training pilots. A new report says Iran's Ayatollah has ordered an attack on Israel in retaliation for the killing of a Hamas leader yesterday. Iranian sources say that Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has now issued an order for Iran to directly strike Israel in retaliation. And
that would be a significant escalation. But then again, it's not like Iran's not been doing everything so far. So
right. Well, and they already did that direct drone strike.
Right.
What was it, a month
That's
or
right.
two ago? So I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Right. And I think the whole world is watching to see, because what happens here is pretty significant. Hey, I am actually leaving right now. I'm going to Pascagoula to get a tour of the USS McCool, the ship that's going to be commissioning here later. So Bobby is going to be taking over for me in just a couple of minutes, but stick around. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow.
Fox News, I'm Gianangelosi. The alleged mastermind of the 9/11 attacks and two other terrorists awaiting trial at Guantanamo Bay will avoid the death penalty after striking plea deals.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was one of three detainees at Gitmo who agreed to the plea deal, sparing them the death penalty. He's accused of coming up with the idea of hijacking the airliners. He's believed to have presented the idea to bin Laden in 1996. He's said to have trained and directed some of those hijackers.
That's Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Former President Trump questioned Vice President Kamala Harris's racial identity in a tense appearance at the National Association of Black Journalists conference.
I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black.
Vice President Kamala Harris spoke in Houston in front of Sigma Gamma Rho, a black sorority, saying his comments showed divisiveness and disrespect. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, and right now it is partly cloudy and 79 degrees. Tragedy strikes again for the family of senior airman Roger Fortson, who was shot to death by a now-fired Okaloosa County deputy back in May. His teenage brother is now dead after a shooting in DeKalb County, Georgia, this week. Investigators say Andre Fortson was part of a group that was arguing with another group when both of those groups then began shooting at each other. Andre was 16 years old. Well, work continuing to determine whether enough security measures were taken last weekend at the Wedgewood Community Center.
I have gone through and compiled a list of insurance agencies that offer event insurance. So if they're going to require that, and I also think I have the number on there that they can call to secure security, off-duty police officers.
And that was Wedgewood Community Association Vice Chair Deborah Lawrence, and she tells Channel 3 that when they sublease that community center for an event, security is required if 100 people or more will be at the event. But they say Sunday evening's basketball game did not meet that requirement, and the shooting itself actually happened outside of the community center at the pavilion, where a group of people were apparently playing a game of dice. Investigators say three gunmen opened fire on that group, killing two men and shooting five others, including an 11-year-old child. So far, no suspects have been announced. An update today on that tropical wave heading towards Florida. The National Hurricane Center says it could potentially develop into a tropical depression as soon as this weekend. The projected path could either put that on the eastern Gulf Coast or move it towards the eastern side of the Florida Peninsula. That system currently producing some disorganized showers and thunderstorms over Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and northern Leeward Islands. And the National Hurricane Center has given the system about a 60% chance of development over the next week. Big news yesterday for a local disabled veteran-owned business. The Florida West Economic Development Alliance says Paradigm Parachute and Defense has been awarded their second Industry Resilience and Diversification Grant. Company co-owner and CEO Alex Alvarado says this will allow them to move into a new facility that'll be more in tune with their manufacturing process.
Again, we manufacture parachutes, but we do a lot of research and development of aerial delivery, which is now, you know, we expanded to space reentry, deaccelerator parachutes, personnel parachutes, and aero delivery equipment.
And it's the second time that Paradigm has received this grant funding, which is administered by the University of West Florida, and it's intended to help Northwest Florida businesses grow, innovate, and thrive. And United and Delta Airlines now canceling all their flights to Tel Aviv.
The move was announced Wednesday amid rising tensions between Israel and Iran. United Airlines says it will suspend all service to Tel Aviv until further notice, citing security reasons. A spokesperson for Delta says their suspension will run through August 2nd due to ongoing conflict in the region. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. And it is 6:35 at News Radio Pensacola. Austin Price with our traffic on the fives.
Looking at the roads here, it seems like we do have some backups still looming a little bit on Palafox Street. That's going to be if you're traveling southbound towards Cervantes, and maybe a little bit developing if you're traveling northbound on Palafox towards Tahar Drive, so be on the lookout for that. Outside of Palafox Street giving us some issues, though, I'm not seeing much going on the roads here. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives. David?
Thank you very much, Austin. Now we'll look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to have a chance of some scattered showers and thunderstorms today. 40% chance of rain. Temperatures getting hot in the afternoon. Heat advisory in place. Highs near 94 degrees, feeling like the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. Keeping the hot and humid forecast around on Friday with a high near 94, 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 79. Degrees across the area. Now our financial market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Trade Commission has announced CarShield will pay $10 million to settle charges. That is, advertisements and telemarketing for its extended auto warranty plans are deceptive and misleading. The complaint alleges the company used language that made consumers believe CarShield will pay for all necessary repairs, when in reality, many customers found that claims were often not covered. The Attorney General for Washington, D.C. has sued StubHub, accusing the ticket resale platform of advertising deceptively low prices and then ramping up costs with extra fees. The lawsuit says StubHub hides the added fees until the end of a lengthy online purchasing process that is accompanied by a countdown timer that creates a sense of urgency. StubHub has denied any wrongdoing. Futures are slightly higher. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 99, the NASDAQ gained 451, and the S&P 500 up 85. That's your money now.
6:36, our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope. From the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze, and right now you can try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola is the area's premier bicycle store and full-service repair shop for all makes and models. They specialize in top-notch customer service with the largest selection of e-bikes around. Trek Store has a full line of bike accessories and racks and can fit all riders from a child's first to seniors. Locally owned and operated by Robbie Mott, serving cyclists for over 20 years, you'll experience the best at Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola, 701 East Cervantes Street, and online at TrekStoreGulfCoast.com.
I'm Dr. Karen Barber, Superintendent of Schools. Under my leadership, we increased the graduation rate from 88 to 90.4%, increased industry certifications earned by students by 177%, and increased scholarships by $6 million. Our students rank third in algebra, fourth in reading, fifth in math, sixth in biology and U.S. history, and ninth in geometry. Let's keep the progress for our children going. On August 20th, vote to re-elect Dr. Karen Barber for Santa Rosa County Superintendent.
Political advertisement paid for and approved by Dr. Karen Barber, Santa Rosa Superintendent of Schools.
Pep Talk, the Pensacola Expert Panel.
I have some great guests in here today with me. We're going to talk about bands on the bayou.
This is actually our third year, and we have three free concerts a year that are for the community, bringing in local musicians to support local nonprofits and are funded by...
The Pensacola Expert Panel, mornings 9 till 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
That's calming. I've needed that today. I needed that today. Oh, man. Hey, Mayor Reeves is trying to navigate plane stuff. Ironically, he said... Well, since I'm not going to be able to do the interview right now because, like, he was going to be, but then they had, you know, plane change stuff. He said, well, do you want to talk to Matt Coughlin, the airport director? And I said, of course. Love Matt. Known Matt for a long time. So joining us now instead of Mayor Reeves, we have the airport director, former, county assistant administrator. He might have done a quick stint as the county admin. I don't remember. That was happening fast. And then former NAS Whiting field commanding officer, Matt Coughlin. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing today?
Good. You didn't have anything to do with what's beleaguering the mayor, though, this morning, right?
No, absolutely not.
All right, so. Fair enough. Just wanted to make sure. No responsibility for that. I did want to ask you a lot of questions to ask you. Number one is Secretary of Transportation Florida, Jared Perdue, recently came to town, and you had him look over the airport, right? Because this is all part of the terminal expansion and the various – all the parts of that project, right?
He did. He was here a couple of weeks ago. It was great because it gave us the opportunity to show him around a little bit and then, show him some of our plans and some of our challenges and see where we're going to be going over the next few years to answer those. And so it was a great opportunity, just if nothing else, to get him to get eyes on it. And so when he sees our requests go in to support Pensacola, he's seen it firsthand and understands the challenges.
So, you know, I haven't flown in a long, long, long time, and I flew to the RNC in Milwaukee. I had a really good experience. The one thing I did notice is when I got in line what seemed to me to be the back of the maze for screening, and my first thought was, oh, no. Now I had allowed plenty of time because that's how I do, but it was like, I don't know, 16 minutes all the way through to I'm in the terminal. I mean, that wasn't even like to the front of the line. It was... five to the line, five or so to wait. There was a little bit of a hiccup just getting the bags, the stuff screened. And the TSA folks were great. All four lines were operating, and I had an extremely positive experience.
Yeah, you know, they're doing much better. Obviously, we have some challenges there. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of times it comes down to the individual screeners and the operation itself and the managers and how they're operating and how efficient they are. You know, that is new equipment there too, so they've had to learn that. So I would say the process has gotten better, and one of the metrics I look at is, so TSA has a self-reporting requirement. Anytime the line gets over 35 minutes, they have to report that to their National Ops Center up in D.C. Well, last year, I think we were about 14, 15 times. This year, maybe four at the most, and they've really taken some resources. They've applied them here in Pensacola. We have some new management here, which helps. And also when they figured out the resource and then modeled what we actually need here from a standpoint of bodies and equipment, they're answering the call. And so I'm pretty happy with it. You're seeing the difference like you did. you know, we still have some lines some days, but considering the amount of people that are coming through here, I think they're doing a lot better than they were, and we're keeping the pressure up too, so that helps.
And one of the things you and I were talking briefly before you got on the air is you guys are going through a reconfiguration that will allow it won't speed up the line, but it will allow you a little bit more space to have the line queued so that it doesn't overflow into the hallway, basically. Is that right?
Correct. So we just went operational with two new exit lanes, and they're more state-of-the-art. So when you leave the concourse, you get off your airplane, you're going back to the unsecured side to get your baggage. There's basically, there used to be this elongated tunnel with technology that would keep people from reversing direction to go back into the concourse, the secure area. This new equipment, you literally, it's very short. You can put a lot of people through to the tune of about, between two of them, about 5,000 people an hour if you had to.
Okay.
But what that does for us, it creates a lot of space right there in the queuing area for the pre-security checkpoint. And so hopefully we're going to mitigate a lot of those long lines that went down the hall, because the optic of such was, if you're a customer, you're coming in here and you go, oh, you got to go down the hallway and stand in line. When you see that, you think you're going to be waiting a couple hours. Now it's going to be much quicker. It's just a more streamlined operation.
And so the way I understand this is the hallway, you would kind of, when you're exiting the terminal, you'd go down this hallway, you'd turn left, then you make this U-turn around and you see the Blue Angels kind of sort of depicted there. That long hallway is going to be eliminated, and that's going to be space that you're using for queuing for the screening line. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
And is that in place now, or is that in process?
No, that's in process. So the new lanes are in there. We're checking out the making sure everything's testing right and it's working. We'll do that for a small break-in period, and it is. It's all working good.
Okay.
And then we'll start taking down some of those walls.
Okay. All right. So that's a bit of a process, but understandable.
All right. Just going to drop in here for a quick check of the roads here. Doesn't appear to be too much going on. We did have some backups on Palafox Street if you were traveling southbound towards Cervantes, but just about all of that has seemingly cleared up. So outside of that, there shouldn't be too much holding you up at this time. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
We're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the director of the Pensacola Airport. Matt, I know you have the new parking area behind the firehouse on the sort of the empty space north of Langley. Do you now have enough for right now? I know you want to build a new parking structure eventually. I know we're wanting to expand a terminal, but does that give you enough parking for now when we have busy days like Thanksgiving?
It does. I mean, over the summer when we opened that around July 4th timeframe, we haven't had more than 20 cars in there. It's a really good deal. We have shuttle service out there. If we get really busy, really suddenly with all our parking, somebody can go out there and park literally for 30 days for about, you know, a dollar a day. It's really a small fee, and then you get a shuttle back. But we haven't really had to use it that much. We are in the process right now of construction. If you go up Tippin, we're building a new 400-space lot, what used to be the old grassy, some people call it the grassy overflow lot.
Yeah.
That is going to be a new parking lot, hopefully before Thanksgiving.
And of course, it was what, last year you built the other one that's more closer to the medical complex, that's, or 2 years ago, you know, that's also a brand new lot in the last couple of years. So a lot of increase in parking capacity. This may seem like an obvious question, but it's one I don't know the answer to, so I wanted to ask. The new terminal proposal, is it going to be completely separate physically from the existing terminal, or will they connect? Because I have been in airports where it's, you know, two, like Atlanta, where it's, you know, two separate or five separate or whatever, and it's a, kind of a pain to get around, as opposed to airports where everything is walking to everything else. What's the eventual plan?
So if you can think of it this way, the current design as we see it is you go through a more expanded security checkpoint. So you mentioned four lanes earlier. We're going to be going from anywhere from 6 to 8 lanes, and then it's going to turn 90 degrees. And when you come out of security, there'll be either concessions there, restrooms, and then you're going to have a choice to turn one of two ways. You're either going to turn left to go to the current concourse or turn right, and you'll walk on an elevated pathway, two stories over to what we used to call the HeliWorks hangars, which are, as I look out my window right now, are being demoed.
Okay.
The new concourse is going to be right there on the right side as you drive into the airport.
Okay, so
right
it's to the south the of the current terminal. And like you said, kind of like the front right when you're coming into the airport when you're driving in with your car. Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Okay, nice to see that we're going to have a consolidated security instead of having to really do two separate securities, which would be its own special nightmare, I'm sure. I did want to ask you, passenger pickup. What's the word I want? Not great. And I know you kind of limited by the physicality of it all, but both from a driver picking up and from a passenger being picked up, the number of spaces, the way the traffic routes, the fact that only taxis can go on that left-hand side, like all of it creates a hot mess, in my humble opinion, as just a user. What are you doing to help that?
Sure. So one of the things I have to do is we have a lot of people that come in and are static. In other words, they sit there at the curb. They're waiting for customers or waiting for passengers. And just the sheer volume, we can't necessarily handle that. So you can't just keep sending them around in a circle. I have to give them a place to go. So as part of this construction project we're building currently with the new parking lot, one of the options in that project that we are moving forward with is building a new cell phone lot.
I was going to ask you that exactly, cell phone lot. Go on. I'm excited. Go on.
So as you come in, there's economy lot one right there on the right. We're carving out a piece of that for about 20 cars that can just, there's a cell phone lot right there and they can pull in there, because once they come in and people just sit here, I can kick them off the curb, but then they don't have anywhere to go. I got to give them a place to go. So this is going to be one of those pieces that helps with that. So what that's going to do is hopefully free up the curb a little more. Eventually, when we build a new concourse, we're going to be doing a lot of road work around here also, because we don't have a lot of real estate there. And with the sheer volume coming through here, we got to be super efficient about it. And that includes the road work too. So you're going to see a lot of road work when we build the concourse and just make it more efficient as people come in. But when I do get that cell phone lot up and running, the other thing it's going to afford us to do is to take those people who are just hanging out of the curb. You got to move along somewhere, because it's a security issue.
Yeah.
And two, what airport in this country have you ever gone to where people can just hang out on the curb? You know, so we're trying to be fly easy. We're trying to be nice and all that, but we do have security concerns up there on the curb that we have to take care of.
Yeah, and that makes perfect sense. It also it seems to me like if you create the cell phone lot that you have a place to put them, that will allow you enough sort of flexibility and throughput that you can do the construction of the driving, as you say, the road surface areas that you're going to need to do. Because if you just try to do construction on top of what you currently have, it would be a extra catastrophe. So I can see why that would be a value as well. Hey,
I would add this real quick. People might not realize this, but they can park. Every lot's a cell phone lot. First hour is free is here. So first hour is free anywhere you park on the campus. So if you have a spot and you want to hang out and wait for a passenger to come in, it's free for the first hour. So
okay. I don't think I realized that. And I'm sure people kind of – there's always a feeling like, oh, God, if I go into the garage or if I go into the lot, I'm going to have to pay. So that's a good thing to remind people about. Also, small plug is I know in other cell phone lots in other airports around the country, they have a digital board, you know, of the flight status. I don't know if you guys are planning for that or not, but, you know, I've always found that useful. The cell phone's great, but, you know, waiting for somebody to text you is one thing. But, you know, being able to see the status of the flights right there on the board is also kind of a nice thing. Last thing, and this is completely unrelated, but the other day I was just driving down airport and I happened to see a couple of gray F-18s circling overhead doing their, carrier brake coming in for a landing. You guys get gray planes all the time, right? You get Cobras and Hueys and I assume you get Pave Hawks and, you know, you certainly get F-18s, but you get lots of visiting naval aviation and other aviation too, right?
We do. We get a lot of military aircraft here. We do, I think, upwards to about 20,000 operations a year for military out of a total of about 65,000-70,000 operations or so. We get quite a few in here, mostly on the weekends. We do get a lot of Training Wing 5 from Whiting Aircraft that come down here. They basically come down for the weekend and go do their training and come back. And
okay.
That gives them an opportunity to knock out some of the training they need.
And that's, and are they overnight stays typically? They're not like touch and goes typically, right?
Yeah, we try to refrain from a lot of the touch and goes just because we want to be good neighbors. They mainly just will base here Friday and Saturday night and then
okay.
go out and do training out of the area or wherever they go and then come back. But not too many overnight, maybe on the weekend a little bit more during a week.
And by the way, for my money, you can touch and go as much as you like. I love the sounds, but I know not everybody's in my... Oh, by the way, I got a text in here that says, thank you for the extra parking in the cell phone lot. They really appreciate that. Matt Coughlin, airport director. As always, Matt, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for doing what you do, helping the airport run more efficiently. I appreciate the work, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. You have a great day.
6:55 here. We'll get one last quick check of the roads and weather before we take a quick break. There doesn't appear to be too much going on the roads at this time. We had some issues on Palafox Street earlier, but they have seemingly cleared out. So if you're dealing with any issues, wherever you may be on the roads, they should not be holding you up for too long. I'm Austin Price with your traffic on the fives.
Attention homeowners, are you thinking about selling your house? In this market, you need a professional, someone who understands how to get you the best price. You need a realtor who will help you protect your equity and protect your family's future. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are the agents I trust. I've seen what she can do, and it's very impressive. She does so much more than just put a sign in the ground. She markets your home so that you can get the most money for it. In fact, if she doesn't sell your home in 30 days, she won't charge you a penny. Ask anyone else if they'll make that promise. Christina can make that offer because she spends tens of thousands of dollars marketing her listings and generating demand. And if you need to sell right away, Christina's got a list of investors who will buy your house for all cash. You've got nothing to lose. It's absolutely free to find out what Christina can do for you. Give her a call today, 850-723-9158. That's 850-723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for fall semester is now open. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays a weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Okay, well, Bobby, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got it. Well, all right. No music?
Yeah, I clicked on the Future News tab on our show log here, and it didn't work, so.
Well, I thought we were playing The Sound of Silence. I'm Bobby Rossi taking over for Andrew McKay as he had to head out to an event a little bit early. If you'd like to weigh in on the show, give us a call or text 850-437-1620. Actually, real quick, I do have a thought about the interview with Matt Coughlin that he was just playing right there, which is the queue. And I kind of mentioned this yesterday on Pensacola Right Now, but I want to bring it up again. Even when you get to the airport and the queue's not really that long, it's still intimidating to see all of those, like, the ropes going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It's been more than one time as I fly, and I fly a lot on the weekends, more than one time that I've gone into that queue and I'm going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and there's nobody, like, even in line. And I hear other people complain about it, going, what is this about? Why can't we just go to the front? So, yeah. All right, future news. Do you think the Navarre Bridge that will get built, will it be a toll bridge?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so, too. Will that storm that's out in the Atlantic, will that turn into a tropical depression or hurricane?
Hopefully it's my emotions, or hopefully it's not my emotions digging in here, but I'm going to say no, it doesn't. I hope not.
No, it's going to. and then will Kamala change her race again? Just kidding. What?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.